morning. Good morning. Isn't the love of God something? Isn't it just more magnificent than anything that you ever thought it might be before you got saved? That's the amazing part, is that the more we know Him and the more we come into an alignment with His way of thinking, the more the love springs forth within us. And see, when we're on the outside looking in, it's like, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But when you're on the inside, it gets greater and greater and greater. Hallelujah. There's this been a place here for me where I've been recognizing and desiring to know more of Him. Recognizing the need and recognizing that by knowing grace, I'm coming to know Him. That when I'm seeking to know grace, I'm seeking to know Him, and knowing that when I know Him, I'm finding grace. Because the greater revelation of God that I receive, the greater revelation of the Lord that I receive, then the greater revelation of grace will come out of that. There's a grace that is revealed as we begin to know Him. And out of that revelation of grace, there's something that has to happen and change within us. Because see, in that place of grace, there's an awakening within each of us. There's something that changes within our soul, because there becomes a thankfulness that happens out of that place of grace. This morning I want to talk to you just a little while, because see, grace has your word. Grace has your word. And grace is determined to make it come to manifestation. Grace has a determination to bring your word forth. Grace has a determination to bring, because see, grace is the person of Jesus Christ, and grace has a determination to bring your word to pass. So now we have to recognize, what is that word? I want to ask you a question. How many of you have a word? I want you to pause for just a moment and just look at your belly button. For some of us, that's easier than others. Because in a few moments, by the end of this message, you're never going to see yourself the same. So look and see what you see now. But see, by the end of this message, you're not going to see yourself the same way. That's what we're looking to find. We're finding an encounter with God, an encounter with who He is, an encounter with what He's placed within us. Because those are the things that God is looking to change within us. Because the more we understand about who He is, the more we understand about His greatness, the more we understand about what is going on in the kingdom of God, and how that reflects and affects me, then the more I can understand who He's created me to be. And when I understand who He's created me to be, now all of a sudden, things shift in my atmosphere. Things change in my circumstance, because something happened within me. And that's what God is looking to do this morning. He's looking to wake us up to see just exactly what He sees. One of the most powerful things you can ever experience is to see yourself the way God sees you. Because when you see yourself the way God sees you, it changes the dynamic of how you think. It has to. Because it's so supernaturally above and beyond all that you can imagine for yourself. Because it's somewhere else besides what you've described and what you've been familiar with. See, that which is familiar is so often so far below what God called us to. And unfortunately, a lot of times we get to the place where we're only looking for the familiar. But see, God's looking for something greater, because He put something greater in you. So let's turn to Galatians 1. Hallelujah. I have no idea how He wants to unfold this. But I got a couple of scriptures, and we're just going to run with it and see what happens. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I want to make this a confession. If you would, just confess it with me, okay? He who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. You know what? You can preach him among the Jews too. It's okay. All right? In Paul's world, there were two people. There were Gentiles, there were Jews. There weren't no others. So we can clothe the Jews in there. God was pleased to reveal his son in Paul. But God is also pleased to reveal his son in you. And if you'll make this your confession, then you're going to come a lot closer to it day by day. If you make this your confession, because you're recognizing that God is pleased to reveal his son in you, Mark. God is pleased to reveal his son in you, Betty. God is pleased to reveal his son in each and every one of us, because there is something about that dynamic that he wants in us. He wants us to recognize who God is. And he wants to recognize that he placed Christ within us. Because see, as we recognize that Christ is in us, suddenly, I'm not looking just at the same old Chuck. Because see, now that's a part of the problem is I'm way familiar with all of Chuck's issues. And probably some of you are too. Hush, V. Marie. But there's a deal, is that there's lots and lots of issues within each one of us. And you know what? We spend a lot of time looking at our issues. And are we spending as much, at least as much time looking at what God called us to be as we are looking at our issues? Maybe I should go this way. Because I see a lot of guilty looks. Are we spending as much time looking at what God sees as we are looking at our issue? And the problem is not even looking at our issue. The problem is that we're just rehearsing the issue over and over. We're not getting anywhere with it. We're not confronting it and dealing with it and pushing beyond it. We're just allowing it to dictate our time. And we'll have a healing line for all your toes in a little bit. There's a thing that God is trying to get through to us, is because if we'll begin to look at ourselves as His Son is in us. When we begin to look at our belly button and now we see Jesus. It changes how we think and it changes how we perceive the circumstance. It changes how we perceive the issue and whether or not we can overcome the issue. Because in order to overcome the issue, we have to begin to think outside the realm of what we've already thought. But I'm not going to get outside of the realm of what I've already done until I begin to think in a new way. By exposing my issue to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can begin to think in a new way. By beginning to have a greater focus on the Lord Jesus Christ than I do upon the situation, I can begin to see the situation, perceive the situation in a brand new way. When my focus begins to come on Him instead of on that circumstance. When my focus begins to come on Him instead of the issue or the past, now I can begin to apprehend what God is seeing. When I see what God is seeing, I can walk towards that which I now see and identify. Hallelujah. So are we stretching your mind a little bit? Does your belly button still look the same? Because Jesus is inside. You know, they tell you to open it up on your computer and to see if the intel's inside. Well, I want you to open up your belly there and see if Jesus is inside. Because if Jesus is inside, that's all the anointing you need. That's all the strength you need. That's all the power you need to change your circumstance. That's all the hope you need to know that there's something beyond what I've already experienced. Jesus inside. Let's get an idea of just what this looks like. I want you to turn to Hebrews 1, verse 3. Let's get an idea of what Jesus inside looks like. And He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things with the word of His power. When He made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. This is Jesus inside. Now I want you to close your mind. Close your eyes for just a second and picture in your mind. Open your mind and receive what God is about to deliver to you. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and open your mind. I want you to picture Jesus. Isn't He tall and strong, handsome? There's a radiance that comes out of Him that emanates. It's almost like a light in its brilliance. There's an anointing that is tangible and a charisma that is engaging. There's a power that happens all around Him and almost it pulsates. You see Him? There's nothing that stands in His way. All things are upheld just simply by His Word. Because He expresses it, it becomes so. Because He's not expressing anything that's not in the will of the Father. And it was within Him that you are given redemption. It's within Him that all the power of the world resides. Because the Lord, the Father, put everything in subjection to Him. Now I want you to realize all of that is in you. That means the defeat of every sickness and every disease is in you. That means the overcomer who overcame all sin and iniquity is in you. That every addiction finds its overcoming in you. That every circumstance and every situation has to come and bow the knee to what God has put in you. Now, if you look at your belly button, does it look the same? Because, see, God didn't make you to just get along. He didn't create you to just get by. He created you to be an overcomer. He created you to be one who stood up and was counted among the righteous. He created you to be one who begins to declare the very word of the Lord and expect to see that it gets passed through. He declared you and He created you to be one who creates with the word of God. Who creates with His word. The same as He did. The worlds were created by Him. Everything is in subjection to Him. This is what God put inside you. The kingdom of God has come to be with you. Begin to see that it is settled, that it is determined, that it is finished. This Christ, who was the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of His nature, is in you. And because this Christ is in you, it gives you the authority to begin to speak what the Father would have you to speak and expect to see it happen. It gives you the authority to speak to sickness, disease, and tell them to bow the knee. It gives you the authority to speak to every demonic force and understand that it has to stand down. This is the authority He's placed in you. This is the anointing He's placed in you. This is the charisma He has placed in you. Realize when we say charisma that it comes from the word charis, the same word for grace. It is the grace He has placed in you. See, what we have to do is subject ourselves to something besides what we see in the world. When we begin to spend our time with Him, instead of looking and perceiving the situation around us, now we can begin to understand a perspective that's beyond our own. Now we can begin to overcome because we see heaven's perspective. He upholds all. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Do you know when we say Jesus, do you know what that means? Seems like a basic question, but it's not. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. It means whose help is God. So when you're in a situation and you cry out, Jesus, you're saying, whose help is God? Whose help is God? It doesn't say whose help is less. It doesn't say whose help is Chuck. It says whose help is God. When we cry out, Jesus, we don't necessarily even know what else to say, but we just say, Jesus, because I'm scared. I don't know what else to do. I just say, Jesus. And I'm recognizing my help is God. I'm recognizing that I'm no longer responsible for what's about to happen here. I'm putting it in God's hands. Because I said the name of Jesus. I don't have to do it on my own anymore. It's not all about what I can do, Mark. It's about what Jesus does. It's about whose help is God. Salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Even Jesus Himself had a plan and recognized Jehovah is my salvation. Guess what? That salvation exists in you. It exists in you. He upholds all things. See, the Word, when He upholds all things by the power of His Word, that's telling you that the Word itself reflects His love. And that grace, the power of His love is in grace. Because everything is being upheld on this, there's a flow that begins to happen out of the nature of who He is, out of the nature of His position as the Son of God, out of the nature of His position as one who is the exact representation of the Father. There is a power and authority that is naturally extended in that, and that extension is called grace. And that grace is being manifested in your lives. That grace is being manifested in all that's waiting for is to be recognized by faith. When grace is recognized by faith, power erupts. When grace is recognized by faith, power erupts. Power comes forth. That's why your salvation took both. It took a moment of faith for grace to step in and say, I'm here. I'm here. Yes, I accept you. Yes, I will bring you. Yes, I'll draw you into the Father's presence. Yes, I will bring you into know all that there is to be known. Because grace connected with faith and power erupts. See, sometimes it's necessary for us to get a vision. To get a vision. See, your word is in grace. Grace has your word. Sometimes it's necessary for us to begin to get a vision in order to appropriate that word. To begin to understand what it's like. Sometimes we're so inoculated by the situation. So cut off from anything else because of the nature of whatever has come against us. That we fail to see God's word. We fail to see God's truth. So what we have to do is begin to understand and begin to step into the anointing that comes out of having the vision of what heaven has. And then recognize that grace is the earnest of what's going to happen in heaven. Grace is not only the expectation, but the earnest. It's the promise. The same as the Holy Spirit is your promise. Grace is the deposit of what's being held for you in heaven. The first thing to do if you're in a situation where you're being overcome by fear, where you're being overcome by your situation, say it's an illness, then the first thing to do is not necessarily jump into confession and everything else. Those are all good things. But the first thing to do is grab a hold of a vision of heaven where sickness and disease don't exist, where fear is non-existent. Do you get a hold of an atmosphere that doesn't contain all the things you're having to face right now and right here? Because see, when you grab a hold of that atmosphere of heaven, then there's something that happens within you that a faith can arise in. It becomes a fertile ground for faith. That's what we're looking for. Fertile ground for faith. Because see, when we understand what heaven has for us, now all of a sudden we can live in that place. And as we live in that place, then the realities of heaven begin to take shape and take form in us. The realities of heaven begin to dictate our thoughts and our responses, and no longer are our responses dictated by the circumstance that we see in the natural. See, it is necessary for us to become that garden that LaRue's been talking about. You see, as a garden, then our only responsibility is to receive. We receive the seed of the word that's been held up in grace. We receive the anointing and the watering of the Holy Spirit upon that word, and we receive the input of the Son to break it, to nurture it, and cause it to grow. Because see, having a word, every one of you now have a word. If you didn't have a word coming in here, you have a word right now, and that word is Christ is in me. If you did not know you had a word before this morning, you know you have a word right now because we just showed it to you. Christ is in you. Now that nurture that word. Nurture that word. Keep that word. Nurture that word. Because as you keep and nurture that word, as that begins to become a reality in you, it's going to affect who you are. When that grows up in us, it changes the very nature of what we look like. Suddenly, we become the radiance of the Father's glory. I don't know of anybody who wouldn't like to be the radiance of the Father's glory. The exact representation of His nature. Wouldn't that be so nice to be this exact representation of the Father's nature and to leave that old nature, behind? Not have to worry about those things anymore? They're just done. Devil has no hold on me. Hallelujah. No worries, no concerns, no anxieties, no fears. No more walking in anger, no more walking in disappointment or hurt, because the devil has no hold on me anymore. Because I have the nature of the Father. The same as Christ does. Because it's been planted in me and I'm nurturing it. It's been planted in me and I'm watering it. It's been planted in me and I'm receiving on its behalf. Your future is in that word. Your future is in the word. Specifically, that word that Christ is in you. If you go to Luke 8, your future is in the word that you receive. Jesus means what? Jehovah is salvation, whose help is God. When we're crying out, we're not crying out on our own strength. We're entering into that thing that He desires from us, which is called dependence. It's called surrender. He's not looking for our effort. He's looking for our surrender. Since we're talking about the garden, Luke 8, verse 14. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. We talked about that last week. We talked about the cares and the fears and the anxieties and things of that nature and how God comes with His love to be an answer to those things. But you have to begin to look for His love, anticipate His love, and enter into His love. It's available. That person that this ground represents had it available, but they chose not to make that effort. God's love is there as an answer for this problem. What He's looking for us to do is turn to Him for His love. See, so often these things become such a burden. Your worries, your cares, your fears, or you're just simply your distractions. What is a list? It's not just the worries and cares. What is a list? It's also lists riches and pleasures of this life. Those are distractions. Longer cars and VCRs. DVDs and SUVs. All those things. Those are the distractions. Whatever it is that catches your eye, that takes your thought and your love away from the Father. Those are the things that He's talking about there. But when we recognize this, when we recognize that, then we're allowing the present to control our future. When you allow worry and anxiety to get away with it and go unchecked, you're allowing that demon to control your future. It got quiet in here. Think about it. Is that part of love? Is that part of heaven? Is that part of the Christ that you just found out is in you? Then what's it doing here? Tell it to go. You don't have to have any part of it. You can make a choice. You can make a choice. Verse 15, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast, so they keep it and bear fruit with perseverance. And bear fruit with perseverance. They hold fast to the word they heard. They hold fast to that word and begin to allow it to bear forth fruit in their lives. Bearing fruit is how we bring glory to the Father. When we bear fruit, we bring glory to the Father. Look up at verse 2. We're in Luke 8. We're at verse 2. And also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom seven devils had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, were contributing to their support out of their private means. Now, we've heard this in context of an offering a number of times. They've been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. And it specifically says this applies to Mary. This applies to Joanna and to Susanna. Mary had seven devils going out. Do you know what's interesting here? Mary Magdalene, the one whom seven devils went out, she didn't allow her past to control her future. She didn't allow whatever had happened, whatever she had, this demonic spirits going on and activity going on in her life. Maybe it was something that was happened to her that caused that in the first place. But whatever was happened to her, maybe it was something that resulted in her getting into harlotry or something of that nature. And then there was a whole lot of shame and everything else that came along with those things. What if all that happened to her? And you know what her response to that was? I'm going to go be with Jesus. And we know that she was with Jesus, not only from this day, whatever day that was, but she was up to with him up until the very end. She was the very first person to see Jesus risen from the grave. She didn't allow her past to dictate her walk with God. She didn't allow her past to dictate what her future turned out to be. She says, I found something that's better than all of that. And I'm going to grab a hold of it. And she allowed that, the hope that she found in him, the reality of that she found in him, to begin to describe where her future was at. It doesn't have to be what it always has been. It can be something different. That's the thing that we need to grab a hold of this morning. We need to know in our very get-go of our core that it all is different and has the possibility of being manifested in a brand new way, even starting today. Because the kingdom of God is in you. Because the Son of God is in you. The one, the anointed one, who is above all, the name above every name, is in you. I heard a testimony of a lady Friday night. And it was very interesting because, see, she had an operation. When they had an operation, they didn't know, but there were precancerous cells in there. The thing that got their attention was they were all dying. They were all dying, and they wanted to know, what have you done? And she said, Jesus. Jesus. God. God has a way of creating and doing things that are beyond our understanding and our ability. He has a way of shifting our reality. You know, your love of God and your love by God is not subject to your circumstance. But your circumstance is subject to God's love. Somebody's calling me right now. They want to know this Jesus. Mary didn't allow her past. She didn't allow those things that had come upon her to determine where she was going. You know, there's something else we need to address here, and that is there shouldn't be any shame in getting deliverance. Hollywood has done us a great disservice by making it look like it's something dark and evil and foreboding, and it's not. The revelation of light overcoming darkness should never be a foreboding. It's not evil. It's glorious. There's no shame involved in getting rid of your demon. The shame is involved in keeping it. Being good ground. Allowing God to bring forth His healing virtues. Allowing God to bring forth a new understanding of who we are. I want to challenge you with something. Because God has been, He's awakened it in me. Last week we talked, and I talked about this thing about needing to know God more. And as I've needed to know God more, as I've come back into the hunger to know Him more, He's reawakened this thing of the journaling in me. It's not about the journaling. It's about the coming to know Him. Because see, in the process, as I journal the things that He's saying, and I'm becoming to where I'm learning more and more about Him, and I'm learning more and more about me. Because see, in order for me to learn more about Him, I first have to erase some issues that are in me. What are those issues, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you mine when you tell me yours. I'm real open about doing that. Because there's things within us. Our limited thinking keeps us from perceiving who He really is. So when we begin to engage Him, then He begins to expand our thinking. And that's part of the process. So here's how He wants us to look at it. See, my life can fill every decision you make. My leadership is available to all who will ask. Your key is making yourself ready for the gift of the Spirit within you. I am always ready to talk to you. Your connections to life is realized through these conversations. There's much distraction and detraction found in the world around you, but life is found in me. I am delighted to see your commitment to converse with me. It is my delight to train you in this way. Insight, joy, and fulfillment are yours when you seek me this way. Allow my life to fill you as you draw upon me for conversation each day. It is not my return, but your return that is being marked this way. What was he saying there? He's saying, my return to the path that he was describing and had always wanted for me. Not that I was out committing some gross sin or anything else, but I was missing the very best of what he had for me. And I don't want anything less than one of the very best of what he has for me. And this is how he's chosen to do that in me. All I have is available to you. All you need is within me. Ask of me and I delight to illuminate your understanding. Ask of me and I delight to set you free. Promotion is granted to those who will train with me. My blessing is given freely. Faith to receive it is found in the life that comes from me. See, your ability to receive is directly related to how much you will abide with Him. You are being infused with life every moment you spend abiding in me. My faith and my love cover you. Take time to recognize this as you go through each day. By this you are equipped. By this you shall overcome. Stand in faith and full expectation of my love. There is a cleansing of the soul, a removal of doubt when you engage the reality of my love. Step into the rest of my love. It is a finished work. Train your soul as you recognize the reality of this love. Your fullness comes from this love. Rest in the assurance of my love. There's one other passage I want to relate because it's vulnerable is a good thing. We need to celebrate risk. The pressure you put on yourself comes from unsubmitted flesh. Allow me to take those areas. You are not required to be perfect. Just be mine. Just be mine. Hearing that set you free. And I'm challenging you today to sit down and spend time. Just write what you hear him say. If you don't hear him say anything, pray in tongues and then stop suddenly. When you stop suddenly, listen to see if he says anything. If not, continue praying in tongues for a few more minutes and then stop suddenly until you begin to hear him say, he will say. So I ask him, teach me how to be yours, how to submit these emotions to you. And he responds with, you used to either wall them off or embrace anger and rage to deal with the fears and perceived inadequacies. Both tendencies and responses were destructive, and you have yet to fully trust me to deal with them my way. Submit to this truth. You are not inadequate. You are exceptionally equipped to deal with every situation you may encounter. Wouldn't that set you free? There are many areas where you feel inadequate, but in truth, you are ready to overcome. Ready to see victory. Ready to realize a competency above others. These things do not mean you will walk in pride, but in an awareness of competence and confidence. I will confirm it in you. You do not need to look outside or to the reaction of man, for I am your healer. I am your rock. I am your promoter. Your first response has been to revert to the lie that you are inferior. Allow me to be in that place. Trust me to lead you into my truth. Your view and affirmation comes too much from what you do, and I want it to come from who I've made you to be, a son in my kingdom. My love covers you. It covers a multitude of sins and certainly covers any perceived inadequacies. Your assignment is to believe me. And believe me to deal with every unpleasant response and every lie the enemy would bring to you. My love covers you. Trust in it. Rejoice in it. And celebrate it with me. There's nothing special about what God's doing with me. This is something special about who God is. It's the way He wants to tell and talk with each of us. It's the what He wants to do to converse. It's what He wants us to be consumed with. It's what He wants us to recognize in ourselves and in about ourselves and about this world that He is trying to tell us about and protect us from. We can't begin to be protected from the world until we enter into this love that He's talking about. His love covers a multitude of sin. Your sin is not an issue any longer. The blood is taking care of that. Now it's about us stepping out in faith and coming to embrace this place of love that He has provided for us. And as we embrace this place of love that He has provided for us, we can embrace these truths that He wants to make evident to us. As we embrace these truths, we're no longer subject to the whim and the way of the enemy. We're no longer subject to the lie of our circumstance, because our circumstance is not the truth. It's a false prophet trying to determine what's going on in our life. God's love, His voice, is just as much alive in you as it is in me. There are people who can see and write things that are so much more beautiful than anything that I've written there, because they've come to know God in an even greater way. Anything that He does in me, believe me, He can do in you. He wants our reality to be such that everything in our life becomes subject to Christ. Everything that comes against us becomes subject to Christ. Every sickness, every circumstance, every demonic spirit, everything that around us becomes subject to Christ in us. Because the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. One more time. The kingdom of God is in you. Now look at your belly button. Do you see yourself a little different today? We started out with that. We looked at our belly button before we started. I said, because when you get to the end, you're going to look at yourself different. Do you see yourself different? Christ is in you. The hope of glory is in you. The Anointed One and His anointing is in you. The radiance of the Father's glory is in you. And let it come out of your face. Let's see it upon your countenance. Hallelujah. Amen.